Very simply this evening I want to preach on the subject, the Good Shepherd. And I want to base my remarks on John 10 and verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the message of the gospel. And we thank thee, O God, that it's still the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. We pray tonight, Lord, for those in this gospel meeting who are still strangers to grace and to God, that you would speak to their hearts and draw them to the foot of the cross. We thank thee, Lord, that you're still able to save to the uttermost all that come to thee. We thank thee, Lord, that you're still willing to save. For you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And, O God, we thank thee that you're still waiting to save. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. We thank thee for the invitation of the gospel tonight, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And, O God, our prayer tonight would be, as we seek to uplift the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would draw sinners to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. To this end, Lord, I pray that you would fill me afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that none would be seen save Jesus only. And, O God, that you would help me to uplift my blessed Redeemer tonight. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. The land of Israel has been well called the land of shepherds, because as you study the history of Israel right up to this present day, shepherding has been a major industry in that part of the world. The word shepherd means to tend or to take care of. And of course that's what a shepherd does. He takes care of his sheep. The duties of a shepherd in Israel have not changed much down through the years. In the morning the shepherd would lead his sheep from the fold, which he would do by going before the sheep. He would lead them out to the feeding pasture and there watch over them until the evening. Then in the evening the shepherd would bring the sheep back to the fold where he would watch over them throughout the night. The shepherd's job required great watchfulness, particularly by night when he would have to watch out for wild animals seeking to attack his sheep. It was a life of much hardship and many dangers. But the true shepherd was a man of dedication, a man of discipline, and a man who had a great love and tenderness for his sheep. John chapter 10 speaks about a shepherd. He is described here in this chapter and in our text as the Good Shepherd. Indeed, the 10th chapter of John's Gospel reveals to us a number of wonderful things about this Good Shepherd. And very simply, at the end of our gospel meeting tonight, I want to draw your attention to what this chapter and what our text reveals to us about this Good Shepherd. And I want to base my remarks on John 10 and verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And my friend, if you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved, you're not a Christian, I want you to listen very carefully because we have a message here for you. You see, your greatest need tonight is to meet this shepherd. Your greatest need tonight is to know this shepherd. And my prayer tonight is that as the word of God goes forth, that the Lord will take his word and apply it personally upon your heart and soul. And that even this night, that you will come to know the shepherd, the good shepherd, as your own and personal Savior. Because you know, friend, you can get saved tonight. Even before you leave this gospel meeting, you can know the Shepherd as your own and personal Redeemer. And I pray that will be the case. That even this night, you will come to know Christ, whom to know is life eternal. The first thing I want you to notice about this Good Shepherd is the true identity of the Good Shepherd. Our text says, look at it, I am the Good Shepherd. Now, who's speaking here? Well, most of us know the answer to that question. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you're not saved, and you don't know the answer to that question. Well, this is the answer. The one that's doing the speaking here is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Look what it says in verse 7 of John chapter 10. Then said Jesus unto them again. And the Lord Jesus is speaking right down this chapter. And he's still speaking in verse 11 when he says this, I am the good shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, identifies himself here as the good shepherd. And of course he is the good shepherd. When you study the Word of God, especially the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ is described as a shepherd in other places. In Hebrews 13 verse 20, Christ is described as the great shepherd, for he has risen again from the dead. Let me read that verse to you. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. And as the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ has risen again. And that's the truth that is brought out when we consider the great shepherd. In 1 Peter 5 verse 4, Christ is described as the chief shepherd because he's coming again. Let me read you that verse. It says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, and it's speaking there about the second coming of Christ. Therefore, when Christ is described as the chief shepherd, it is referring to his second coming. But here in John 10 verse 11, the Savior describes himself as the good shepherd. And we're going to see the significance of that just in a moment. But the point, and the very simple point that I want to emphasize to you here just now, is this, that this good shepherd is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it's very important that you see that, especially if you are in this meeting tonight and you're not saved. If you're not born again of the Spirit of God, I pray that God the Holy Spirit will take this truth, this simple truth, and burn it within your heart. Because my friend, you need to see who the Good Shepherd is tonight. There is no doubting the true identity of this shepherd in John chapter 10. Thus everything that we will say from this point on will point us to the Christ of God. Oh, men and women, that's what I want to do tonight. I want to point you to Christ. He is the one who can save us from our sins. He is the one who can bring us home to heaven. He is the one who can meet us at the very point of our need. He is the one and the only one who can redeem us and deliver us from hell and from judgment to come. Why? Because he is the one and the only one who is the good shepherd. There's only one good shepherd, you see. It's not the minister. It's not the priest. It's not the pope. It's not Mary. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of the living God. He and he alone is the good shepherd. I wonder this evening as we're gathered together in this service, do you know the good shepherd? Is he your savior? Is he your redeemer? The apostle Peter could say, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the Lord Jesus, as the good shepherd and the only shepherd, He is the only Savior. He is the only Redeemer. He is the only one that can deliver us from hell and judgment to come. He is the only one who can forgive us for our sins. And He is the only one who can make you fit for heaven and home. And it's my prayer this evening that you will come and find Him as your own and personal Redeemer. Why is Christ the Good Shepherd? Why can no one else identify themselves as the Good Shepherd? Well, that brings me to my second point. I want you to notice what it says in our text in verse 11. Look what it says. I want you to notice the tremendous sacrifice of the Good Shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ says here, I am the Good Shepherd. Now here's the tremendous sacrifice that the shepherd has made on behalf of his sheep. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Look at verse 15. I lay down my life for the sheep. Christ is the good shepherd, and Christ is only the good shepherd, and Christ is the good shepherd only because as the good shepherd, He has given His life and laid down His life for the sheep. You know, some people would try to tell us today that Christ died for some principle or some great truth. Others would tell us that He died as an example of self-sacrifice. But men and women, this is not the case. The Lord Jesus Christ, as the good shepherd, died for sinners. He died for sheep that were lost. He died for those who were doomed and damned and destined for hell. That means, of course, that He died for me. The Bible says that we're all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We're all born estranged from God and separated from God because of our sin. But thank God, on the place called Calvary, when the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, laid down His life a ransom for the many, there He died the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. I have a wonderful message for you tonight, sinner. If you're found in this meeting without Christ, the Good Shepherd has died for your sins upon the cross of Calvary. He has shed His precious blood on the middle tree on Golgotha's brow. Just keep your hand, if you have a Bible with you, keep your hand in John chapter 10. And turn over just for a moment to Isaiah chapter 53. And look with me there at verse 6. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. That's a picture of you and me. But the Lord hath laid on Him, on the Good Shepherd, the iniquity of us all. Look at verse 5. He was wounded. That's the Good Shepherd. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. Here we have the tremendous sacrifice that the Good Shepherd made on behalf of the sheep that were lost. In Romans 5 verse 8 it says, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in verse 6 of the same chapter of Romans, we read, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. In 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, we read these words, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. And here in this text in John 10 verse 11, the Good Shepherd draws our attention to the sacrifice that He made upon Calvary's cross for the sheep that was lost. My friend, you can be saved tonight because the Good Shepherd has laid down His life for the sheep. You can make and start your journey to heaven tonight because the Good Shepherd has shed His precious blood in order to redeem you. You can be saved from hell tonight because the Good Shepherd has went the whole way to Calvary, and there upon Calvary's middle tree, He has died the just for the unjust. Do you ever stop for a few moments and consider how the Good Shepherd died for the sheep that was lost? The good shepherd died willingly. No one forced the Lord Jesus to go to the cross. No one twisted his arm up his back and made him go to Golgotha's brow. The Bible tells us that he went willingly. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Thank God he went and died upon the middle tree on Golgotha's brow willingly. And not only did the good shepherd die for the sheep willingly, but the good shepherd died for the sheep painfully. Think of the thorns that pierced his brow. Think of the nails that went through his hands and his feet. Think of the whip that lashed his back. Think of those soldiers as they beat his face, black and blue. He was unrecognizable. Oh, the pain, the physical pain that the Savior went through upon Golgotha's brow. The good shepherd died for the sheep atoningly. In other words, in those 3 hours of darkness, God the Father took the sword of judgment and plunged it into his lovely Son. That was the time, I believe, when the good shepherd bore my hell in his own body in the tree. Oh, what a Savior we have. What a Savior. The Bible declares that the Lord Jesus took my sin upon himself. He bore my hell in his own body upon Golgotha's middle tree. And there upon the cross, he suffered my hell. An eternity of hell that I should have suffered. In 3 hours of darkness, the Son of God paid the price of my redemption. And he made an atonement for my soul. Oh, the shepherd, the good shepherd, died for my sins. Once only. And thank God when he cried, it is finished. Man's redemption was completed once and for all. What a wonderful Savior we have. Oh, my friend, I wonder you're found in this meeting tonight and you're not saved and you're not a Christian. Would you not come to Christ tonight? Would you not turn away from your sin? Thank God, because of the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, you can make peace with God. Through the blood of his cross, you can be reconciled to God. Through the blood of the Lamb tonight, you can be saved. You can begin your journey to heaven this evening because of what the Good Shepherd has done for you. Oh, we'll never understand it and we'll never take it in what it cost for Christ the Holy One to bear away our sin. But thank God, the Bible reveals unto us the great love that the good shepherd had. You know, many years ago, a missionary in a heathen land was reading the story of the cross to a tribal chief. The missionary explained how Christ died on the cross for our sins. The old chief was so moved when he heard the story of the cross that he cried out, "Take him down! Take him down from the cross! I am the one who belongs there!" You know, friend, the old chief was right. Because of our sins, we should have died. But because of the sacrifice, the tremendous sacrifice of the good shepherd who died in our room instead, thank God the sinner, you and I, can find forgiveness and obtain life everlasting. You see, on the cross, the good shepherd laid down his life and bore our hell in his own body upon the tree. Look what it says in John 10, verse 17 and 18. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Lord. What a tremendous Shepherd. The one who laid down his life, a ransom for the many. Oh, my friend, that's the message of the gospel tonight. Thank God, you don't have to die in your sin. You don't have to be lost in hell forever. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price for your salvation. And if you would only come tonight in faith and in repentance and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and depend upon Him and what He has done on the cross for you. Thank God you can leave this church tonight on your way to heaven, knowing that your sins are forgiven and knowing that someday you're going to be in heaven for all eternity. The true identity of the Good Shepherd. The tremendous sacrifice of the Good Shepherd. But notice something else here. Turn back again to John chapter 10. I want you to notice, and this is wonderful, I want you to notice the thrilling promise of the Good Shepherd. Look what the Lord Jesus Christ says in verse 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now here's the promise, this thrilling promise that the Good Shepherd gives to the sheep that are saved, the sheep that have trusted in Him. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of mine hand. And look at verse 29. My Father which give them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Eternal life can be obtained. Eternal life can only be obtained through Christ and His finished work. Eternal life can be obtained through Christ tonight. The greatest blessing in this world is to know and have the assurance that you're going to heaven. My friend, I have that assurance tonight. Not because there's anything good in me, and not because I deserve God's salvation, but I have that assurance tonight because of the work of Christ and because of the Word of Christ. I have that assurance tonight because the Savior has promised all those who are saved that He will bring them to heaven. There's a wonderful portion of Scripture over in John's Gospel, chapter 3. Let me just read these words to you. And verses 14 to 16, we read these tremendous words. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Here's the promise, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Here's the promise, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Look at verse 36 of the same chapter. He that believeth on the Son, here's the promise, hath everlasting life. My friend, do you have everlasting life tonight? If you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? Or would you be lost in hell? Because remember this, while there is a heaven to gain, there is a hell to shun. The Bible tells us that those who die without Christ, not knowing the Good Shepherd, will spend eternity in the lake of fire for all eternity. But thank God for all those who have trusted Christ and are depending solely upon His finished work on Golgotha's brow. The promise of the Savior is eternal life. Everlasting life. Do you have that possession tonight? You know, when I read the Bible, I read that the saints of God all had the assurance of heaven before they died. I think of the Apostle Paul. Paul had this knowledge. Paul could say that he had a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which was far better. Paul knew that he was going to heaven before he died. I think of the Apostle John in 1 John 5 verse 13, where John said clearly that he knew that he had eternal life. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Peter had this knowledge in 1 Peter 1. Peter speaks about being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Peter in that chapter spoke of an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for him and for the saints of God. Even David spoke of this assurance in Psalm 23. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Even Job spoke of this assurance and this had this knowledge When Job could say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And all the saints of God, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, had this wonderful assurance. Why? Because of the work of Christ and because of the Word of Christ. You know, the Old Testament saints were saved just the same way as the New Testament saints. The only difference was this. The Old Testament saints looked forward to Calvary, believing that the Messiah would come and die on the cross for them. But they put their faith in what the Lord Jesus would do for them upon the cross. The New Testament saints look back to Calvary. We look back today and we thank God for what the Savior has accomplished upon the cross. But that was the only difference. There's only one way of salvation. There's only one good shepherd. There's only one Savior. There's only one Redeemer. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ, Savior of the world. Oh, what a thrilling promise the Good Shepherd makes. What a thrilling promise the Good Shepherd gives to all those who call upon Him in salvation. Would you not like to be saved tonight? Would you not like to come to Christ? Maybe you say to me, preacher, I'm too young to get saved. Well, you're never too young to get saved. Even the smallest boy, the smallest girl, the smallest child in this meeting tonight can be saved. They can know the Good Shepherd. Just a few weeks ago, a number of children were saved in our children's meetings. They were young, they were tender, 6, 7 years of age. But they came and they wanted to be saved. And the workers led them to the Lord. Maybe you're saying tonight, but preacher, I'm too old to be saved. You're never too old to be saved, friend. Just 3 weeks ago, we had the privilege of leading a woman to Christ. You know what age she was? She was 90 years of age. Her family come to our church in Bethel. She has never been in the church in Bethel. But every week, her daughter-in-law would bring her DVDs of the service. And at home, she would sit and watch these. And any time I would go up to visit the family, I would always nip in to see her. And on my last visit, I had the joy of pointing her to the Lord. And I can just see her sitting there, 90 years of age, when I read the story of Nicodemus and turned to her and said, would you not like to be saved? She broke down in tears, 90 years of age. And she wept her way to Calvary. My friend, you're not too old to get saved. You're not too young to be saved. You need to be saved, and you need to be saved tonight. You need to come and repent of your sin this evening. And thank God, if you do, if you come in childlike faith, you can leave this meeting tonight rejoicing and knowing that you're on your way to heaven and that you're going home to glory. I'll never forget the night I was saved when I was 13 years of age. In a gospel mission on the Brownstown Road in Portadown, I'll never forget the night the Lord saved me. You know, friend, I didn't know very much that night. I couldn't have quoted you 2 verses out of the Bible. But I knew this. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I couldn't save myself. I knew that the Lord Jesus was the Savior and that He had died for me. And I was told that if I called upon Him and turned and trusted in Him that He would save me. And I believed that in childlike faith. And when I was going home that night, oh, what a burden was lifted. I knew I was on my way to heaven. I knew my sins were forgiven. Would you not like that knowledge tonight? Young person, older person, would you not like that knowledge tonight? Listen to what the Savior says. I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know, I'm not saved today to be lost tomorrow. I'm not going to be lost tomorrow, friend. Because He has given me eternal redemption. He has saved me everlastingly. The one who has saved me is the one who will keep me. And He will keep me until I go home to glory. And even after that, He will keep me throughout all the ages of eternity. What a wonderful salvation the Lord gives. Read Psalm 23. I haven't the time. I was going to turn to it, but time's away. Read Psalm 23 about the Good Shepherd. And you'll learn this. You'll learn that The shepherd, the good shepherd, looks after his sheep in life, verses 1-3. And the good shepherd looks after his sheep in death, verses 4-5. And then the good shepherd looks after his sheep in eternity. Study that up, and you'll find that to be the truth. Oh, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Come to him tonight. Trust him tonight. And he'll be your Savior. And thank God, you'll be able to leave this place knowing that you'll never be in hell. Listen, friend, if you're not saved, you're going to hell. You're going to be lost forever. Because the same Christ that spoke about heaven and promised heaven to his saved, redeemed sheep also spoke about hell and warned men to flee from the wrath which was to come. There is a hell to shun. Make no mistake about that. That's why you need to strive to enter in at the straight gate. That's why you need to come to the Savior tonight. Because we don't know. We just don't know what a day may bring forth. You might be in the great eternity by this time tomorrow. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And the good shepherd promises to give his sheep eternal life. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the simplicity of thy word. And we thank thee for the work of redemption that the good shepherd has accomplished upon the cross. And we thank thee, Lord, tonight, that the vilest offender who truly believes that moment to Jesus, a cleansing can receive. And we thank thee, Lord, this evening, that you're only a prayer away. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I'm not going to make a public appeal tonight, but what I'm going to say is this. If you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved, and you'd like to be saved, and the Lord has spoken to you, I'm in no rush home tonight. I'll only be too glad to wait behind in the meeting and take the Bible down and show you more clearly how you can be saved and how you can know it. But as others are leaving, you wait behind and speak to us. Speak to someone that has brought you, perhaps, or some of the elders you know, or some other Christian that you know here. Just say, I want to be saved. My friend, don't leave the meeting tonight without Christ. He loves you. He doesn't love your sin, but he loves you. And he will save you tonight. Father in heaven, draw sinners to the foot of the cross. And even tonight, Lord, call them with that a factual call. For it's in Jesus' precious, precious name we ask it. Amen.